This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Recapping our top story today, the FBI and Michigan's attorney general say that they've uncovered a plot by an extremist group to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Six people have been charged so far by federal prosecutors, and more charges are on the way. Many of the details are yet unknown, but investigators say that those charged hold anti-government views. The alt-right can be a big tent, and not everyone who espouses anti-government views might agree with what happened. But we wanted to turn now to Alexandra Minna-Stern. She's a professor of American culture, history, and women's studies, who's made a study of some alt-right groups. She's the author of the book Proud Boys and the White Ethno-State, How the Alt-Right is Warping the American Imagination. Alex Stern, welcome back to Stateside.
Nice to be here.
Could you, first of all, tell us about what you meant in the title of your book that refers to warping the American imagination? How do you see the alt-right having that effect?
Well, I guess a shorthand for that would be that over the past 4 to 5 years, we have seen that the alt-right and white nationalism, white supremacism has been mainstreamed in American society. To a great extent, it's become normalized, it's become more visible, and its more extremist elements have become much more of a threat.
We do not know what group of groups might have been behind this plot, but we do know that the rise of militias and the alt-right has been a real phenomenon over the past couple of years. For those who maybe haven't been following this story very closely, can you explain what's been going on?
Well, what's been going on is really over the past 2 decades, we've seen the fourth wave of the far right, which is something that has unfolded really since the post-World War II period. And since about the 2010s would be the place, the year to date it, you know, we saw the emergence of the alt-right, which is also in the title of my book, which, you know, was a loose conglomeration of libertarians, paleoconservatives, men's rights groups, white nationalists, white supremacists. And that banner kind of held them together in a heterogeneous and unwieldy way. The alt-right itself, the usage of that term, it is still helpful. But what we've seen over the past 2 years is really a more concerted rise of white supremacism and white nationalism. In particular, groups that are willing to take to the streets, take to the ground, and basically, as we see with the situation with Governor Whitmore, to devise elaborate plots to overthrow sitting governors and to, in the grand scheme of militias, to overthrow democracy and the U.S. government. The alt-right, much of its activity happened in social media, and we see that this group, the Wolverine Watchmen, appears to have used social media, including encrypted technologies. They certainly made use of Facebook. So some of those patterns definitely are at play.
Why would Governor Whitmer be a target for a group like this?
Well, she's a target for several reasons. The first is that she is a Democratic governor who has stood up to President Trump. She implemented public health measures in the context of COVID that rubbed many the wrong way. And as we saw playing out in spring and summer, you know, a loose group of protesters descended on Lansing to speak out against them, some of them carrying arms. At the same time, you know, she is, I think you cannot deny that there's a strong misogynist element in this. If you look at the language that is in the criminal complaint document, the language itself, you know, includes the B word. It includes a variety of terms that are basically imagining gendered violence against her. And, you know, we know that Michigan has a long history of militia movements and white supremacist movements. So as the one female Democratic governor who was stood up against Trump, she, for them, is kind of an obvious target.
We're in this period in which the president has popularized the phrase "that woman from Michigan" as a way of disparaging Governor Whitmer. To what extent do you see the president's remarks inflaming the cause of the alt-right?
Well, I think that inflaming is a good word. I mean, his tweet in caps, "Liberate Michigan," was code word for militias to do what they did, which was descend upon the Capitol and contest Governor Whitmer's authority. I'd say that they have been emboldened, and by they I mean militia groups, white supremacist groups, domestic terrorists. They've really been emboldened over the past year. And they have been galvanized further in the context of protests against COVID public health measures, and also in the context of the really heated dynamics of anti-racist protests and counter-protesters out on the streets.
When you think about the position that the Proud Boys have in popular discourse and their role with respect to more aggressive extremist groups, is there a connection? Is one a recruiting ground for the other?
Well, I think that's where the role of social media often can come in. In one of the studies that was done around 2017 to determine what social media mechanisms radicalized young men and would take them into the hands of the hardcore white supremacists, it often was these groups such as the Proud Boys, even people like the Canadian psychologist Jordan Peterson or other social media type celebrities who really shared some of the same ideas. So I would say that the Proud Boys overlap with groups like this in terms of ideology, in terms of organization, and in terms of wanting to disrupt democracy.
How do you think about the outcomes that groups like the Proud Boys are going for? I mean, is this about just inspiring other people, or is endgame even really the point of the kind of political activity that they take part in?
Well, I think that, you know, that really varies. You know, it's not monolithic. So there are those who join the Proud Boys because they like their overall agenda or message, or maybe being part of this like all male fraternal group. Some of them have more violent tendencies. Some of them are very xenophobic. Some of them share in the misogyny of the Proud Boys. But then there are those that overlap with white supremacists and who want, for example, to create an ethno state. So I know in looking over this criminal complaint, one of the Wolverine Watchmen was purported to say that he wanted to create a separate homeland, that this plot to kidnap the governor was part of an overall plan to create a separate homeland. That idea of creating a separate homeland is something that has been part of the white supremacist imagination, you know, for the past 30 or 40 years. So I think you do have to put it in that context. And also realize that groups like the ones that are operating in Michigan are spread out all across the country. The Department of Homeland Security published its Homeland Threat Assessment several days ago and noted that last year was the most lethal year for extremism in the United States since the Oklahoma City bombing in 1995. And the major drivers of that extremism are white supremacists.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Professor Alexandra Minna Stern, author of Proud Boys and the White Ethnostate: How the Alt-Right is Warping the American Imagination. Alex, I wanted to ask you about some of the statements condemning this kind of violence. Michigan Senate President Mike Shirkey issued a statement very quickly after the charges were announced condemning any kind of plot or violence of this type. He writes, quoting here, "A threat against our governor is a threat against us all. We condemn those who plotted against her and our government. They are not patriots. There's no honor in their actions. They are criminals and traitors, and they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law." I do remember on April 30th, the day of the protests that you mentioned, when anti-government protesters were in Lansing and a group of them was in the legislature's gallery at the Capitol, heavily armed and yelling at lawmakers in a way that several people found disturbing. And Senator Shirky went out to speak to them. He was trying to defuse the situation. I wanted to ask if you have had a chance to observe what kind of methods have leaders in law enforcement come out with to try to meet groups like this when they mobilize?
Well, I would say that strategies need to be multi-pronged, and they also need to be realistic in terms of what the level of the threat is. So if the level of the threat is kidnapping and potentially violent action, then that needs to be responded to by the likes of the FBI and other enforcement agencies. If Shirky or others are able to go out into, you know, what is still a public gathering space and diffuse a situation, no matter how tense, and including armed protesters, you know, I think that's a great skill to have. I would say that at this point, the level of organization and the intensity, especially as we move towards the November 3rd election, of this type of anti-democratic protesters is such that, again, we need to have multiple ways of approaching it. In terms of white supremacists and kind of de-radicalizing men who've been involved in those movements, there are specific groups that have been set up to do so. And some of the most effective people in helping bring about that change are former neo-Nazis themselves or former skinheads who were involved in those movements and then found their way back to normalcy and some kind of more reasonable way of being. And so those kind of people have played a key role in creating spaces and also life narratives for those who want to and can be led out of such extremism.
Can I ask how seriously you think we should take this?
I think we need to take this extremely seriously. First of all, I cited before the results and the observations from the DHS threat assessment, which, you know, to reiterate, that white supremacist violence in this country is at its highest level since the Oklahoma City bombing. And also, we're in a context that is incredibly fractious and divisive. We're living still in the context of a pandemic where public health measures are being instituted and many people are protesting those. We're in a context of racial reckoning where there are battle lines drawn on many sides. And we're living in a context where we have a president who, with his tweet storms and other actions, is actively and explicitly emboldening these types of actors. And all of this is leading up in, I think it's now 28 days, to a really defining election in this country. I would not be surprised if we saw, unfortunately, you know, I don't like to say this, but if we saw further incidents like this, not just in Michigan, but throughout the country. I think these groups have been organizing, these groups have been plotting. They are connected through various networks. And I think it's a really dangerous time.
Alexandra Minna-Stern is a professor of American culture, history, and women's studies at the University of Michigan. She's the author of the book Proud Boys and the White Ethno-State. Alex Stern, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.